let me in. Shiba shiba. I wanna be closer to you. Shiba shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba shiba. Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Touch your mind. Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And I've got someone in the studio who many, many, many people have enjoyed. She is a San Francisco treat, a legend in her own time. I'd like to welcome the incandescent Marga Gomez. Hello.
Oh, I love that. I love that. My mind has been touched since I moved to San Francisco.
When did you move to San Francisco?
I moved to San Francisco in 1976.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what my show's about. I came out. It's a coming out story, but I was outed. My mother, my showgirl mom.
Uh-huh. Your mom was a showgirl?
Oh, yeah. My dad was a comedian. My mom was a showgirl. This show is a stew of everything, uh-huh. And so I just came out, and mm-hmm. my girlfriend wanted to go to San Francisco, and then I mentioned it to my mother, mm-hmm. and she goes, "There's three kinds of people that go to San Francisco: communists, drug addicts, and homosexuals. Which one are you?"
Wow. So,
yeah, she came out for me, but
wow, she came in hot, didn't she?
She came in. Oh, yeah, my mother's hot. Yeah, she was. Anyways, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So when you chose, was that like the lesser of three evils, or did it cause a like how did she respond when you told her?
Well, this was over the phone, and let's see, to make this concise, because I have this mm-hmm. 90-minute play about it,
sure,
but
sure.
I was already going. You know,
yeah.
You know when you follow somebody, you know,
yeah.
don't do it, really, because
yes.
you break up as soon as you get to the other coast.
Yes.
But I just this was my phone, so it's just like I just basically snuck out. I didn't run away. I snuck away.
Okay.
And I think actually in the show, I say I'm not a communist or a drug addict or a homosexual. I'm a Democrat. You know, I take off. Yeah. So 76, I got here.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Milk still had the camera shop.
Okay.
It was pretty much one of the best years of San Francisco. There was all the queers and all the freaks and all mm-hmm. the party people mm-hmm. and all the Democrats were coming here. And so this show is remembering a time that seemed like utopia. Of course it wasn't. There was still police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
There was still racism. Mm-hmm. There were, you know, but in my mind, it was just like, I am free. I'm 20 years old and I'm free.
And 76 was like when disco arrived.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have we use a lot of music in the show.
Mm-hmm.
We don't use a lot of disco because it's about when I worked at this hippie restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And we had this jukebox that was written up as the best jukebox, but they were very eclectic, you
mm-hmm.
know? So they played everything from John Handy to The Dead to Dolly Parton.
Oh, okay.
But no disco. You know, there was that attitude.
Yeah, yeah, there
but
was.
But, I mean, I was going out to the lesbian bars for disco.
Uh-huh.
Both of the lesbian bars, I was there for the disco.
Nice, nice, nice. So when did you – so you get here, and obviously you break up as soon as you get here practically.
Yes. And no, broke up on the drive.
Wow.
Because my girlfriend at the time, I didn't drive, so she had to drive the car. And then I had found out that she was with somebody, so I didn't talk to her. This is not in the show. I didn't talk to her for the whole one-week
wow.
drive, coast to coast, Motel 6's, Campgrounds of America.
Wow.
I just put on the radio stations.
So how long was this drive?
Well, if you drive cross country,
yeah.
it's at least a week. I mean, you've got to, you know, stop and sleep, and especially if only one person is driving.
Uh-huh. So you say, okay, I'm going to San Francisco. When do you find out that she's with someone else? Like at the beginning of the drive or before?
It was just like, it was just before. And I was just going to go anyways because I'd already burned bridges with my parents.
Okay.
So, and I wanted to go to, San Francisco.
Sure.
I didn't know it was so gay. I just thought I could get, smoke pot all the time.
So, and then you had that extra bonus. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It dawned on me. Yeah.
But still, that's a long drive to give someone the silent treatment.
Yeah.
Did you ever talk to her again?
Yeah. We're friends. I haven't seen her in a long time. I hope she's, mm-hmm. still with us. In the show, she's just a composite. So it's not.
Sure.
It's not her. And we're super happy in the show.
Because
It's a memoir, but it's also enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
What
do they say? Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yes. Yeah. So we're just this happy lesbian couple. But then we break up because the first thing that happened when we got to town is she had a friend who lived in a Rolfing collective.
Okay.
And that is true. And so we could stay there for free.
Uh-huh.
But it was kind of a cult. You know, those Rolfers, they were a little bit...
Well, there were a lot of cults here
not
back
good.
Then. A lot.
A lot of cults.
Yeah.
So, and this was a one where you, you ate silently at the communal table.
And you had all that practice from not talking on the way there.
Wow, that's good. I'll have to rewrite the show. I got to rewrite the show. It's Marilyn. But there was actually a restaurant in San Francisco back in the 70s called The Communion.
Uh-huh.
And you would go there and it was like, super cheap. Everything was cheap then.
Yeah.
And I... sometimes when I was dating again, I would bring them to the communion because, I guess I'm not the best. You can't tell by me now, but I wasn't the best conversationalist. So I thought, okay. I'll bring a lady with me.
Uh-huh.
I'll pay $3 for two lunches.
Uh-huh.
And that was going great until in this cult of the silent people, the two leaders had a fight and they one shot the other. And then the restaurant closed. I've been trying to find...
Wow.
More stuff about this restaurant. It's nowhere. It's nowhere on the internet.
Wow. That's
if anybody knows about it, I'd love to,
Well,
I'd
if,
love
you knew
to swap
the,
stories.
If you knew the people, then you could probably find like the news article about the killing and then work backwards from that.
Maybe I could oh, that's right. Maybe I could research the killing, but it's so weird because, the internet's pretty spotty in the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, but they do archive some of the old Chronicle and Examiner papers. So you just might.
Yeah.
You might get lucky. And you can reach out to the library. They might have something on like microfiche.
Microfiche.
They
still have microfiche?
Yes, they do. They never get rid of any way of storing information. So there's some things that are still only on microfiche. But our listeners did not tune in to hear about our forensic things. They tuned in to hear about Spanish
going
stew.
Into the weeds. Spanish stew.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. That's the name of the show, Spanish stew.
Uh-huh. And why is it called Spanish stew?
Because in the show is... Well, it's a stew. It's many different things, but it is really grounded in food, in mm-hmm. our love for food and how food, the communal experience mm-hmm. of eating, people just going out to dinner is, can cross the boundaries that people put out themselves culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is about before I became a performer or thought I could, I lied my way into a cooking job in a restaurant in Noe Valley.
Wow. How do you lie your way into a cooking job?
Perky breasts. I was 20. Use your imagination.
You're just like, ooh. And they're like, you're hired.
And
can they start tomorrow?
Exactly. I didn't know. I always thought, my soup, the Spanish stew, was so good.
Uh-huh.
And then later I talked to the guy who hired me. He says, it actually was your boobs. but the soup is delicious. I might be making it today, actually, to share with my tech crew.
Oh.
This is our day off.
Okay.
But the soup is called caldo gallego, and it's Cuban caldo gallego, and it's a soup that originated in Spain.
Okay.
It's like peasant soup,
Okay, yeah.
But I said, I can make this.
What's in it?
Oh, it's collard greens and white beans, turnips, or, you know, it changes because since it's a soup of poor people, it's whatever you had.
Okay.
But a lot of like ham hocks and Spanish chorizo, which I know I can't make too many jokes about it on air because that could get me in trouble, but it's in the show. There's even a song about it. So I made this soup, but they couldn't fit all the letters on the chalkboard, so they call it Spanish stew.
Okay.
So that is, and then it's also all the...
See, now I want to go home and make that because that sounds delicious.
Oh, well, I really want to make it today. Uh-huh. I haven't, you know, when
it's going to be the right weather for it.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I might even go to Rainbow Food Co-op is in this show.
Oh, okay.
Because when you break up with somebody in 1976... How do you find housing? You go to Rainbow Food Co-op's massive bulletin board, and there's everything, you know, room for rent, $65 in the DuBose Triangle, no kitchen access, or learn to be a mime. Become a mime efficient. Mime was very big back then.
Welding classes. Yeah.
Oh, my cat will help your cat cope with seasonal affective disorder. These were all the things you could find on the bulletin board.
This is why I love my hometown. Wow. So your boobs get you a job as a making soup.
Yes, and the soup was great, but I think, you know, you charge like $3 for a bowl of soup, but the ingredients were probably $10. So. But this was also a weed-friendly restaurant, so they were fine with it. You know, the manager was fine. And then, of course, as society changes, the restaurant changed. Mm-hmm. And a, you know, real yuppie, as we call them, manager took over. And they took Spanish stew off the menu.
Right. None of that ethnicity, you know, befouling our purity.
Back to mushroom barley, the soup of the white people.
Okay. All right. So.
I have white friends. I'm not.
No. Okay. But not, you know,
I don't want you to get
whole,
in trouble.
The thing about gentrification, you know, someone comes in and they get rid of all the things that make it white people like it.
So the thing, so we have that, and then we have, I also flash back to my parents cooking, my mother making arroz con gandules and teaching me as a 17-year-old how to make it, how to burn the rice so I can find a man.
Oh.
And so I do the opposite because I don't want to find a man.
So you don't burn the rice.
Yeah. And so she says, you want to find a man, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? And then there's like this sort of horror motif in it. It's, I want to mention my director, Richard A. Mosqueda. So brilliant. So funny. He says he's, or they say they're not funny, but they're hilarious. So it's been really fun bouncing ideas and creating something different than the show that I brought to NCTC. Oh, that's where it is, New Conservatory Theater Center.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
It's just evolved and evolved into this two-act play with a song before intermission, about intermission.
So you're doing it at the New Conservatory Theater. When does Spanish Stew start?
It starts this Friday. I thought it was this Saturday, but better get it together.
Yeah, you should.
So this Friday we go into previews, and there's actually some low price previews. They can find it on the website, nctcsf.org.
Okay.
And then the official opening is already sold out, but that's October 25th. It's a Saturday.
And how long does it run?
It runs till November 23rd, Wednesday through Sunday.
That's a nice, healthy length.
I mean, we put so much into it. It's like I'm already sad that it's only 4 weeks. We have matinees, too. I like matinees.
Okay. Yeah. And where can people get tickets?
They can go to nctcsf.org.
Okay. And then if people want to know all about what you personally are doing, do you have a web presence that where they can just see what you're doing?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not... it's margagomez.com, I need to seriously update it.
Sure. But you have your own name, which tells, it always tells how old someone is when they have their own name as their website.
How smart they are.
Yeah.
And I've got the Instagram, the Marga Gomez. But this year has been wild because I've been doing theater all, I mean, in the worst year in my life that I know of. But the best year for me as an artist, the first part of the year I was working in Berkeley doing the show Search for Signs of Intelligent Life,
which was
made famous by Jane Wagner and Lily Tomlin. Mm-hmm. That was a 2.5-hour show. It was brutal. I would never do that again. I mean, I was so happy because I'm a big fan of this play.
But it takes a lot to be the one person for 2.5 hours.
So, yeah, I've been doing theater. I did that show, and now I'm doing my own. So I haven't really...
And it's a one-woman show, right?
Oh, Spanish Stew is a one-woman show, but I play about 8 different characters.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So once again, for our listening audience, when and where for Spanish Stew?
Spanish Stew runs from October 17th, that's this Friday, to November 23rd. I think that's prior to the... terrible thing that happened with the pilgrims. Mm-hmm. You can go to nctcsf.org for tickets. It's conveniently located on Van Ness near the Muni stop.
Yeah, 25 Van Ness.
25 Van Ness, yeah.
All right. Well, Marga Gomez, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you here, right?
Oh, I know. And I come right here because I want to see you. By the way, can I just say how brilliant you were at the... Rhinestone Palooza, or the, you know, the
there's like Rhinestone Rodeo, formerly Cowgirl Palooza,
and you did Vitamin L,
Mary Kay Place.
I actually took a clip and I put it on my socials. I got more likes for you than I've ever gotten for myself.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, with that, Marga Gomez, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, DJ Marilyn.
Okay, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to go be in the presence of greatness. It is Spanish Stew, and it's just around the corner. So because it's Spanish Stew, I'm a play Memphis Soul Stew. This is King Curtis.
Today's special is Memphis Soul Stew. We sell so much of this, people wonder what we put in it. We're gonna tell you right now. Give me about 1/2 teacup of bass. Now I need 1 pound of fat back drums. Now give me 4 tablespoons of ballin' Memphis guitars. This gonna taste all right. Now just a little pinch of organ. Now give me 1/2 pint of horn. Place on the burner and bring to a boil. That's it right there. Now beat well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. You know I love me some library, right? And I'm lucky because there's always something cool happening at the library. Usually we have them on at the end of the month, but we have a bonus episode for you where we talk to a librarianista. And so without further ado, I would like to welcome the ever popular Andrew Kassler. Hello.
Hello, DJ Marilyn. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for being on the show. So tell our listening audience what you do at the library.
Well, I actually work on the first floor as a supervisor, and I help sort materials and send them back to the branches and upstairs, and people reserve items. We get them ready for them to pick them up. That's my main job, but I also work for Baybeats, which is the library's free streaming platform for local bands.
And how, like, I remember when you guys first started that up. Was that 2 or 3 years ago?
So this is our third year.
Okay.
On October 18th, we're going to publish our third collection of albums that we got from submissions, and we're really excited about it.
Go on.
I just want to say, I'm having trouble hearing with the echo. Can we... I'm not sure what to do about that.
I don't know what to do about that either, so I will ask...
That's okay. I can make do. I can make do.
Okay, okay. So...
You don't have your foot on the wah-wah pedal over there?
I have nothing going on. It's probably PG&E or PAC. You know, it's somebody sabotaging us, but I can hear you perfectly. There is no echo on my end.
Oh, great.
So let's talk about Baybeats. So what exactly is it for our listening audience who doesn't know?
So Baybeats is a streaming platform on San Francisco Public Library's website. Mm-hmm. You can get to it at baybeats.sfpl.org, or you can get to it through the library's website. And once a year, we send out a call for submissions to artists anywhere in the Bay Area, which is the 9 Bay Area counties, and we receive submissions from them. And then we take a few months to review those submissions, and DJ Marilyn was one of our jurors the first year.
That's right.
If I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time October rolls around, we've jurored the submissions, we've accepted albums, and we're going to have a big launch party this Saturday, and we at the same time we roll out the new collection. And you know, the first year we got about 600 and something submissions, and we're like, wow, people love us. And last year I don't want to use the word dropped, because we got over 400 submissions, which is still a ton. And we're like, oh, are we running out of music, are we running out of submitters? But this year we jumped way back up to about 550, which means that people still want to be on Baybeats, and we're kind of integral to the Bay Area music scene, so we're really happy that we're still thriving.
I'm happy that you're still thriving, too. So what kinds of submissions do you guys get, and what kinds of submissions make it to the finals?
So, like I said, it's anywhere in the Bay Area, and we accept all genres of music. So we get lots of rock and rap and hip-hop and R&B and country. A lot of electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
It really spans. I mean, the Bay Area is such a rich musical scene. We have like big bands that are popular in bars, like, I don't know, like Analog Dog or May Powell, and we have people that just make electronic music in their homes, like maybe Dan Gentile or Nola Shades. We have country music. We have R&B music, and like I said, people that are popular and people that are just starting out. We have a few teens on the site also. So we think it's a great way for library audiences to discover new music. Mm-hmm. I myself was a really narrow-minded music fan a few years ago, and now I'm going to electronic music shows and all sorts of shows I never thought I would do before.
Really? So what was it? Was it just being forced to listen to it that you were able to find the beauty in things, or what changed?
Well, you know, it's because I was exploring Baybeats, and it's just because it's there for me to grab for free. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, these are people that are living near me. What are they doing in their lives? And I would get stuck listening to them. It's like, oh, I like this music.
Ah.
Electronic music is like... it's making me feel happy. well, this R&B music, which I always thought was not, I don't know, was too quiet for me. I love it now. And the sentiments expressed, I've really kind of changed a lot. It's been excellent.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about this, you know, the big music drop and the big party you guys are going to have.
So on October 18th, we're rolling out about 540 submissions this year. We're rolling out about 175 albums. Like I said, the albums are jurored,
mm-hmm.
and not everyone makes it, which is kind of heartbreaking, but mm-hmm. we do have a lot of great albums coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And to celebrate, on October 18th, we're having the third annual Bay Beats launch party at the Golden Gate Park Bandshell.
Okay.
And Bay Beats loves bangers at the Bandshell because we like to blabber,
yes,
basically.
And you like alliteration. Continue.
And so we have four bands playing, and we think the bands represent all the different type of genres
mm-hmm.
that we have on Baby. Some we have something for everyone. We had a big party at the band show on May 3rd. It was a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we're having four bands, starting off with Still Deer, which is kind of, they characterize themselves as math rock or post rock.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of them as King Crimson in Mandarin. They speak Mandarin Chinese.
Nice.
And it's really experimental and kind of out of this world.
Uh-huh. I love it.
And after that, we're having Casey Cope, who's a rapper. And he's pretty popular. I've been listening to his music to get ready for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he also publishes just the beat tapes behind the music.
Mm-hmm.
Those are extraordinary. Then you throw his rapping on top of it. He's really funny. One of his lines is, you know, you don't need to be scared or intimidated by folks. All you really need is freckles and to be funny, which he has. And yeah, he's really good.
Okay.
And after that, we're going to have Pacing. Pacing is a sort of a, they characterize themselves as anti-folk band out of San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, it's fronted by a woman named Katie McTeague, and the lyrics are very idiosyncratic and personal, but she hits on feelings that we all share. And another thing she does is she publishes her chords for anyone to play.
Oh.
So I think that's pretty folk-like, sharing her knowledge with the whole world. Yeah.
I think so. And who's this DJ Appler?
Say again?
Who's DJ Apple?
Oh, DJ Apple Gomez. So one of our partners with the show is BFF.FM, which is a streaming radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And they support us a lot. And she has a radio show called Bay Dream, which focuses on music in the Bay. And so we thought she'd be a perfect match for our show because she specializes in Bay Area music.
Okay, okay. So when does it all start?
It starts on, can I just mention really quick that the final band is the Strange Ones, who are a garage punk rock band from Oakland.
Oh, okay.
Just because we really like to push the limits at the library, what we can
mm-hmm.
do, and be really loud.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
mm-hmm.
really loud.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, you know, San Francisco Public Loud Library is one of our nicknames now. And it all starts on Saturday, October 18th is coming up this Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Golden Gate Park Bandshell, and
mm-hmm.
it's free. We're going to have some giveaways. There's food trucks at the Bandshell. It looks like it's going to be beautiful weather.
Mm-hmm. So for people, okay, so you've got this this great kind of festival going on in the park, but there are people right now who are thinking, Bay Beats, how do I listen to it?
So you don't need to be a member of San Francisco Public Library to listen to Bay Beats. Anyone in the world can go to Bay Beats, that's BAYBEATS .SFPL, like San Francisco Public Library .org,
mm-hmm.
and look at our website. We have about 300 and something artists on there right now. We'll have over 500 starting at Saturday morning at 12:01 a.m. And you can filter by genre, whatever your favorite genre is you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just try some whole new genres that are used to you, that are new to you. And the cool thing about this is not just that it's free, unlike other streaming services, but you don't have to. Everyone's local, so you can go and see them play. Oh, these guys are cool. I'm going to go see them play. Which you can't really do on other streaming services.
Sure, sure. So do you keep the how many bands get to stay on there? Is it anybody who's submitted can be on Bay Beats, or is it very specific, or do you winnow it down?
So, yeah, good question. When we do the call of submissions every spring,
mm-hmm.
we get hundreds and hundreds of submissions, but then we have community jurors and SFPL staff jurors that listen to the music and winnow it down. And as I mentioned, it's heartbreaking. A lot of great music comes in and doesn't make it on, and we just ask that people resubmit every year and try not to, you know, be too upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can only financially accept a certain number of artists every year.
Okay. So for going forward into the future, how do people submit to Bay Beats if they want to be considered for next year?
So we do the submissions every year from March through May,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be putting out a call for submissions. We do a big promo package. We'll be on our website. We post it on Instagram. And what you'll do is go to our website, and at the top of the banner, it'll say, Submit Music to Us Now.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll click on that, and they fill out a form, and they'll submit three tracks to us and electronically. And we'll say, we'll get back to you in a few months and let you know how it goes. And if they get accepted, we pay them $250.
Mm.
Bay Beats has also expanded in many ways. We have a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so this launch party show isn't the only show we're having. We have shows at the main library in the atrium called Atrium Tunes at Noon. We're having a dark wave show on November 22nd. The Branches have lots of shows. If you look at our website, we have a shows page for all the shows we've been having too. So we're really trying to get a foothold into the music scene, which is like a giant morass of tons of activity.
Okay. So once again, for our listening audience, when and where and what is the name of the event?
It's the Bay Beats Launch Party. It's at the Golden Gate Park Band Show in the Music Concourse on Saturday, October 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at 1 p.m.
And all ages?
I'm sorry, yes, it's all ages. And we have picked our bands with all ages in mind.
Excellent. So if someone goes to the website, or if their children go to the website, they don't have to worry that their children are going to hear things that they might not necessarily consider appropriate.
Well, I think on the website, if a song has slang in it, but swears in it,
mm-hmm.
then there's a little E next to it.
Okay.
That indicates that it's explicit.
Okay, excellent.
And we do have a lot of, we do have explicit music on the website, but because we don't believe in censorship,
sure.
we want to have all information on there.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that little E on there, which parents and children can use.
All right. Well, Andrew Kessler, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And I wish I could go to the event, but I'll be on a plane. But I know that people are going to turn out in force, because I've seen some of the other Bay Beats parties that you guys have done before, and it's been exceedingly popular. So I expect nothing less.
Well, thanks for the kind words, and. I just wanted to follow up on the Margo Gomez interview, which I laughed my way through and said, I don't think I can help her with the forensic Rolfing information.
Okay.
That's, that's not in my wheelhouse. But I can, you know, you can help look, you know, I can help refer if she needs.
All right. Well, once again, I want to thank you, not just for being on the show, but, you know, libraries serve an important role in our lives, and the ability to be able to just go to a library and get books and information and not be limited by your income. It's an amazing thing, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks for making that point. Everything we do is free.
All right. Well, once again, Andrew Kassler, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me again, Marilyn. It was great talking with you again.
Yay. All right, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out Bay Beats. You can go to baybeats.sfpl.org and see all these musicians and see all of the songs that they have. You can go to the event, which is going to be so much fun. It's in the park, and you're going to be happy, and you're going to feel like your mind is being touched at all times. I'm going to play a local band because that's what I do. I'm going way back. This is Graham Central Station, and it's all right.
Feel like grooving.
Graham Central Station, San Francisco Treat Locals. That's all right from Ain't No Bout a Doubt It. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. It's all about the music, and we have so many lovely and talented musicians who play around and release music. There's a band called The Lucky Losers. They're going to be doing an album release, and they've got a new thing coming out, and I'd like to welcome the members Kathy Lemons and Phil Berkowitz. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
We are here, Marilyn.
So tell me a little bit about Lucky Losers. First of all, why do you call yourselves the Lucky Losers?
It's a little tough to hear you because of the echo. Let's say that again.
Sorry. Why do you call yourself the Lucky Losers?
If you're asking me about the name, are
yes.
you asking me about the name?
I am.
Oh, we got the, that's from the James, that's from the James Carr song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lucky loser. Y'all know that song? I'm a lucky loser. Yes, I am. And it's a love song, and Phil and I love that song.
So how long have you been together as a band?
11 years since really 2014.
That's
yeah,
a long.
Yeah, we've been independent of one another up until that point.
And how did you guys get together?
Well, Phil tried to hire me for a gig at the saloon, and he was at the time going through a bit of a divorce,
mm-hmm.
and he introduced himself. He was very handsome. And I was kind of paranoid because I'd gone through my own divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, no, 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 no. And then my friend Dave Workman, who's a guitar player who lived in the Bay Area and I did gigs with for like 25 years, he said, get over there and talk to Phil. What are you doing? Take the gig. Don't be shy. Get back out there. Find out what he's all about. He's a good musician. Don't worry about it. So that's what happened, and we did a gig together. And it worked out really nicely. We had a lot in common, and we love the same music, and it's very eclectic.
Okay. Yes, I was about to ask you, what are the genres that you like to perform?
Well, we're blues. We're blues-based. Mm-hmm. Phil and I are both blues musicians of many decades.
Mm-hmm.
But we started writing our own tunes and songs. Because we wanted to tell our own stories. And so we branched, you know, we love blues, old school blues and soul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a little bit of Americana, you know, electric Americana. But we're blues folks. I mean, we've been playing the blues for years and years and years.
What was it that brought the two of you to want to play the blues as opposed to, say, rock and roll or jazz or any other thing?
That's easy. Well, I'm a traumatized individual.
Mm.
I was raised in Texas. I moved 15 times before I was 17.
Wow.
My mother was a little crazy. And I never found songs that I could relate to until I heard Anson Funderburg in this little club in Dallas where I was raised. And I heard him play, and I just loved the songs. I was about 22,
mm-hmm.
23. I'd been singing in a swing band, you know, America Group Swing, acoustic, and I heard the blues, and I was just knocked over. And Bill, you know, he loved blues from the beginning, but he was a big Gary Primich fan and Billy Boy Arnold, and he came to blues a little later than most. He was about 31, I mm-hmm. think, when he put his first band together. But he loved, he's a harmonica player, Phil, and he loved that big, big sound, big, rich sound, which Phil has mm-hmm. when he plays.
So let's hear from Phil. What was the first sort of blues music that Phil started playing?
What was the first music that you started playing in blues? That's what Marilyn wants to know.
Well, I was going for a teaching credential at SF State, in the mid-90s. I saw an ad, was looking for a blues band, and then I had been playing harmonica for maybe a couple years, 3 years, not very long.
Mm-hmm.
And I answered it and decided to sort of, you know, build up a repertoire of songs and just learning off of the records that I had collected from Chess, Muddy Waters, Little Walter, Big Walter Horton, Sonny Boy Williams, and plus we'd do like Fabulous Thunderbird songs. We would do songs by trying to think what else.
Les?
Yeah, that's always where I kind of started off when I first started my own band.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have, you know, I didn't have much experience at all in playing at that time. But as I kept playing more gigs, I got better and got hip to a whole lot of different blues music.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys are going to be here in San Francisco pretty soon, yes?
Yeah, we'll be at the Saloon. That's a long-standing residency gig. I've been at the Saloon. You're not wait for it. I've been at the Saloon since 1987.
Whoa!
I think I missed one gig since 1987. One gig.
Impressive.
So second Thursday night is the usual night, mm-hmm. evening, 9:30. But this time we'll be there October 17th at the Saloon, and that's a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's right around the corner. Y'all can come see us and listen to our our songs. And our touring band that we just did a very long tour. That's why we're in a cafe right now. We're on our way home.
Mm-hmm.
But we did an East Coast tour and crossed over into the Midwest, and we're on our way home. But we'll be back for that gig, and our musicians did the tour with us, so we should be tighter than your boss.
And you've got a new CD coming out, yes, called Arrival?
Yes, that's going to be out November 7th on Momocho Records.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stream that on all the regular places and platforms. And if you go to our website, theluckylosers.com, you got to put the V in it,
mm-hmm.
theluckylosers.com. You can find us, find how to, you know, stream it. We have a single out called Pull on the Rope. It just came out 2 days ago. And you can get that track for free if you pre-save the album. And the album is a mixture of stone, blues, ballads, soul, and it's an all-original song album, and it was recorded with the great Kid Anderson over there at Greaseland Studios in San Jose.
Wow, that's amazing. So the new CD is called Arrival, and your single out right now is Pull on the Rope. What made you call the CD Arrival?
Well, because we finally arrived on a long train. This train has been on the road for a long time. But I think this is a really great CD. And the songs are more honed together and sharper focused. They're a little bit shorter songs.
Mm-hmm.
Very focused stuff. I've made a lot of recordings now with Kid, and this will be our sixth recording. So we really sharpened our focus on this, and it's got a nice little cute duet called Ain't the Marian Kind. It's got kind of a Stax Volt ballad. Bill wrote a beautiful ballad for his father that just passed away called My Father's Song, and there's just all kinds of goodies on this record.
Excellent. Will you be having a record release party?
Well, we had a pre-record release at Club Fox, but we were thinking about doing one at Biscuits and Blues, and when we get home, we'll try to set it up. It might be a little while, but thinking about Biscuits and Blues since it's San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay. And so once more for our listening audience, when and where will you be playing?
Well, if you go to our calendar, you'll see us on the luckylosers.com. The shows are listed on there, but we'll be at the Saloon. And that's in North Beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's the oldest bar in town. We'll be there Friday, October 17th.
Mm-hmm. And also November 13th, which is a Thursday, and December 11th, okay, which is a Thursday.
Yes, we're always there every second Thursday, usually. That's right.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you both. I want to thank Kathy and Phil both for being on the show today.
Sure. We appreciate being on your show.
Thanks, Marilyn. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
And I hope that you're able to have a relaxing drive home.
Ha, ha, ha. We're heading into a snowstorm.
All right. Well, drive safely then.
Thanks, Marilyn. All right.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. You get to go see this Friday, October 17th at the Saloon, The Lucky Losers. And they have a new CD that they're about to drop. And this is a track from it. I'm going to play it and I'm going to head off into what I believe is a rainy day. Should be. I love the rain, so I'm happy to be drenched by the cooling waters. I'm going to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford. It'll be pleasuring your ear hole. So until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo. This is the Lucky Losers. Pull on the rope.
I went to the well. Oh, it was dry. The land was made of sand, no rain.